Good morning. So today is the Feast of the Holy Family. We have this beautiful scene right here. But I often find that every year around this time, the people feel somewhat intimidated by this feast because they see the contrast or the difference or the gap between this Holy Family and their own family. And they always feel kind of lacking and kind of not feeling very, very good about it. But actually, there is something we can learn actually from these statues that I think can make everyone feel much more peaceful, much more confident as we go into a new year. You know, this was always, whenever we have these Bethlehem scenes, they're always so serene. The animals are perfectly tame. It's a very quiet, very peaceful scene. And it really just wasn't that way at the time when it actually happened. Jesus was born into a very, very violent time. It was a very dangerous time. And it was just filled with all kinds of anxiety, whether you could get enough food, whether you could get a job, whether you could be robbed, whether you could be killed by the Roman soldiers. And yet, Mary and Joseph just seemed to be so much at peace. So what is their secret? So I think we can learn from what the statues are doing. And what the two statues of Mary and Joseph are doing is quite clear. They both have their focus on the Lord. They're both looking at Jesus. That is a tremendous insight there. You know, I know that all of you have always, in your entire life, always gotten along really, really well with all of your brothers and sisters. But if you remember back in the day when you were young, and either your brother or your sister was giving you a hard time, very frequently children would do something like this. Mom and Dad, make him stop hurting me. Right? So they instinctively know that they can't solve the problem at their own level. They can't make it happen at their level. They have to reach up to a higher authority to make peace in the family. I think that instinct is very deeply ingrained, and I think we have it here. Mary and Joseph are looking to a higher authority. They happen to be looking down because Jesus is a child, but they're looking to that higher authority to find wisdom and insight about how to live a happier life. And so, you know, making this idea that I'm going to focus more on Jesus is a beautiful promise. But just to make it thematic for this week, we could call it a New Year's resolution. And New Year's resolutions are famous for lasting about a week. So I think we can also find something about this idea of focusing on Jesus that can make a difference to make these resolutions last longer, because this idea of focusing on Jesus not only happened to Mary and Joseph, but everyone in the early church also had that entire focus on Jesus. We know something about what happened in the early church because the Romans would write reports about them back to the emperor in Rome. And we know that from day one, the very earliest days of the church, all of the Christians would gather every single day for Mass before dawn. I'm glad I live now. But they would gather every day before dawn in someone's house because there were no churches. They were not allowed to build a church. So they would gather in someone's house every morning before dawn to have Mass. So why is that? Why every single day? Isn't once a week enough? Why would they gather? Now, once a week is a commandment, but they would gather every day. I wonder why that is. I mean, at Mass, they would make a promise to love the Lord and the others and theirself even more. And then they would do it again the next day, and then the next day. So I remember I wanted to make a resolution. So years ago, when I was in my 20s, I had a very bad habit, and I smoked cigarettes. So I had my last cigarette in 1981, October 13th. Now, it turns out that nicotine is the most addictive substance there is, more than any other drug. It is the most addictive one there is. And that's why people find it very, very difficult to quit. And so I would make these grandiose resolutions. I'm going to quit today, and I'm never going to have another cigarette in the rest of my life. And I would have a cigarette, and I'd say, this is going to be my very last cigarette for the rest of my life. Or maybe the next one. And you know, it's just so difficult to make a promise for the rest of your life. And then I remember, what did the early church do? They didn't make a promise to follow Jesus for the rest of their life. They made it for that day. They would get up in the morning and have Mass before dawn, and they would promise to follow Jesus for that day. And then the next day, they would make that promise again. And the next day, they would make that promise again. And you can handle one day. It's very difficult to make a promise for the rest of your life, but you can make a promise for one day. And so what I decided to do is to not quit cigarettes. I simply chose to not have a cigarette today. I'll have one tomorrow, but not today. Then I would wake up the next day and I would say, I would renew the same promise, I'm not going to have a cigarette today. So one day at a time, I was able to fulfill that resolution. And so I haven't had one since 1981, because of making that promise one day at a time. I think that's a very, very beautiful way to make resolutions, and it fits right in with the history of our church and the way that our church made a resolution about following Christ. So if you would like to make some resolutions, I would recommend, you know, don't make a resolution for the rest of your life. Whatever it is, whether it's to say, I love you more to someone in your family, to say that I'm going to pick up the Bible and read some verses each and every day, whatever resolution that you make, make it for one day. And then the next day, renew it and make it again. Just like the early church, day by day, we promise to we will be more assured of having a happier new year.